be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. I hope you brought your Bibles tonight and turning with me to John chapter 14, reading from the 15th verse. If you need a Bible, let anybody that you saw on this platform, just tell them, hey, I need a Bible. I don't have a Bible. We're not going to give you two and three Bibles, but if you've never had a Bible, we will give you a Bible. So don't be shy. And if you're watching online, we're thankful for you tonight. But you need to be in church. Amen. John 14 and 15, and we stand in honor of the reading of the word of the Lord and honor of God's word. And it says, if you love me, we'll wait for the AV to get that up there. John 14 and 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And going quickly to 1 John chapter 2, reading from the 3rd and the 5th verse. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Notice this. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Who's the father of lies? The
devil.
Yeah, and where do all liars go? Just checking. Asking for a friend. And the truth is not in him. But notice this. Verse 5. Whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now, I feel a little preach in me tonight. But I'm going to do my best just to teach, kind of slow it down. But I want to talk to you tonight on this thought. I do it because. I do it simply because. Tell your neighbor, I do it because. Tell your other neighbor, I got a reason for why I do what I do. If you love the Lord, one more time, give God a hand clap of praise. Come on. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Somebody shout the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. We bring two messages to the world and those around us. You ever wonder why some people do the things that they do? I remember in studying Sister Veto for marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling. I'm not a marriage counselor, but I will give you some help. But I am not a substitute for you spending good money to meet with a professional after you've prayed. And in studying Sister Julie, I came across a story of a man and a woman that got married, and the lady would make a ham for dinner, but she would cut the ham in half, and then she would cook it in two pans at the same time in the oven. And the husband asked her, Brother Moises, the husband asked her, why do you do that? And she says, because that's the way my mom cooked the ham. That's how you cook it. That's the way mama did it. Sound familiar from Sunday? And so the son-in-law asked the mother-in-law, he said, the strangest things is, you know, we got a big oven, we've got pans, big pans, but your daughter, what did you teach her? She cuts the ham in half and cooks them at the same time in two different pans. We surely got a pan big enough to put the ham in and cook it at once and not cut it. He said, what is this all about? Why did you teach her that? What is the reason why? And she said, well, because when me and Dad got married, we didn't have a pan big enough to cook the ham. So I had to do it that way. And so I've just always done it that way. And sometimes we in the church, we do things, and we're really good in society and in Pentecost of telling people what to do. You've heard me say that before lately, right? But not why we do some of the things that we do. And so I read John 14 and 15 that says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so the first, that we bring two messages to the world and those around us. And the first one is, is what we speak with our words, right? And the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The second message that we bring to the world and those around us is the one that we speak with our actions. That's probably the most important, because we are what we do, not what we say. Amen. There's a lot of people that say, oh yeah, I'm going to do right. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better employee. I'm going to be a better team player. And 24 hours later, they're worse than what they were when they said that. But Colossians 3 and 23 tells us, notice this, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. Knowing, notice this, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for we serve the Lord Christ. Somebody say amen. Yes. So I want to dig into the word of the Lord here tonight. I have never, ever in all my years of preaching and teaching and pastoring have as many scriptures as I have tonight. Never. And all that we are and all that we will become is so that we can have a better relationship with the Lord. Amen. How many of you want a better relationship with the Lord? Remember, everything belongs to God. 1 Corinthians 10 and 26 says, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The psalmist writes in Psalm 89 and 11, notice this, the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine, and for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. And when people go to concerts, and they go to ball games, or they get excited, they lift up their hands, right? When some people want to fight, they lift up their hands. Some of you relate more to that than going to concerts and ball games. But they put their hands in the air, they high-five one another, they get excited about whatever it is they're celebrating or enjoying. And so when you see me or you see others that lift up their hands unto the Lord, they do it because the Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3 and 41, let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God. Let's practice right now. Let's lift up our hands. See how liberating that is. Until I'm celebrating. We're celebrating and worshiping the Creator of all, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 134 and 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. That's what we do when we lift up our hands. We're lifting up our hands in the sanctuary and we're blessing the Lord. I'm celebrating. You're celebrating. You saw some of the worshipers here at the front here tonight. They had their hands lifted up. They're celebrating and they're worshiping that they can't do it on their own, but all things are possible with the Lord. So when I lift up my hands, I do it because the Bible says to lift up your hands unto the Lord. 1 Timothy 2 and 8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I've been saying this a lot lately, but we're not going to be pointing fingers at one another or blaming one another. I don't do it, and you shouldn't do it either, but we're going to point our fingers and our hands into the heavens and point up to the Lord and say, I can't, but he can. Like what the psalmist says in Psalm 141 and 2. He says, let my prayer be set before thee as an incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So when you see me or someone else, the praise team, I sure hope the praise team, they do a wonderful job singing and working together. But we're praisers and worshipers, so we should be lifting our hands. They're doing it as their ministry, but it's not for us to stare at them. It's for us to say, you know what? I'm going to worship and praise the name of the Lord with them. So we lift our hands. It's a sign of humility and surrender, right? It's also a sign of sacrifice unto the Lord. He's done so much for some of you. That we don't got time if to sit here and listen to you testify about all of the things that God has done. The song says, He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. So when you lift up your hands, it's a testimony of God's faithfulness and a testimony. And it's a slap in the devil's face every time you lift your hands and say, Lord, I lift my hands in the sanctuary to give God a praise. Because I love Him. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Yes. My prayers are my communication unto the Lord. Yes. Right? Yes. A lot of us are real good at communicating. Sometimes it's one-way communication. But some of you are great at reciprocating that. We should not have one-way communication with our relationship with the Lord. Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not or knewest not. People in relationships that don't talk to one another don't have a healthy relationship. Just saying. Think about it. One of the biggest problems that I hear from couples is we don't talk. Part of the reason is because he's used all his words by the time he got home. But the other part is because we're not communicating. There's a failure to communicate. Listen, when you were dating your spouse or your honey, you could spend hours talking on the phone, going out for coffee or texting so you can get to know one another, right? You ever say, well, let's go out for coffee so we can talk, right? It's called communicating. And when Pastor and I want to talk or get something across to the leadership team or the ministry team, I want them to know something or have to talk to them about something. I have to communicate with them because they're not mind readers. Can I tell you, nobody in here is a mind reader. But the Lord is. But you also have to verbally communicate and talk to the Lord. When you get upset about something, don't go get on social media and let everybody know I'm mad. I'm upset. You know what they did to me. No, talk to the Lord about it. If you're really concerned about somebody or something, don't go gossiping. Go to the Lord about it and talk to the Lord about it. Say, well, are they having problems? Well, why don't you talk to the Lord? And if they're having problems, you're going to the Lord, you're talking to the Lord about it. The Lord will take care and work out whatever needs to be worked out. We've got to have a communication phone line or communication with the Lord. It ought not to be one way. It ought not to be, well, I'm going to go to church on Wednesday and see what the Lord has to say. No, you should have heard what the Lord had to say this morning when you read your Bible and you prayed. Because remember, this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Today was set aside for you and I for a purpose. You make time for what's important to you. When you're in love with somebody or in love with something, you make time for it. A healthy relationship has consistent communication. And both parties talk, and both parties listen. And when we pray, it's communicating. Sometimes we wonder, well, what do we pray for? Well, I'll help you. 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, brethren, pray for us. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, pray for me. We pray because it's our lifeline to heaven. We pray because it's the breath of our life. It's our time with the Lord. It would do all of us some good to carve out more time to pray than to play. Come on, somebody. Job tells us in Job chapter 5 and verse 8, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. Notice this, which doeth great things. And unsearchable, marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the field. Revival Tabernacle, if there's ever been a time to pray, it's now. If there's ever something that you should try to do more of, it's praying. What Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 17, he says to pray without ceasing. If there's ever a meeting you want to make sure you're a part of, tell your neighbor it's prayer meeting. You don't want to miss out on that most important meeting of your day. Prayer meeting. I'm not just talking about Thursday night. You need to be here in person or on Zoom on Thursday night at 7. But you need to have an important meeting in time and place, location, and of where you meet with the Lord and you pray and you talk to Him and you bare your soul and He ministers to you and you clear your head and you read your Bible and you talk to the Lord. We do it because the Bible tells us that we ought to pray without ceasing. We have prayer meetings because in Acts chapter 1 and 14, the scripture says, they all continued in one accord in prayer. It's time for us to bind together in prayer like never before. Yeah. We had a powerful prayer, two powerful prayer meetings last week. Some things broke, not just in Santa Maria, but in the region. Things just begin to happen quick already that I'm not at liberty to talk about yet, but things begin to open up and begin to, and God begin to move some things. We need to have those times every single week. We need pre-service prayer because it gets us in one accord. It helps us focus and prepare for the word of the Lord and for the atmosphere of the moving of the Holy Ghost. Pre-service prayer is vital to the church service. I do it because the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 18 and 20 that where two or three are gathered together in my name, that He's in the midst of them. We come in here and we bring a lot of stuff with us. Sometimes we bring stress and worries. We bring irritation and frustration. We bring sickness and we bring burdens and trials. But when you can link up with a brother and sister and there's a prayer leader here praying and there's 100 other people that are praying and you get in one accord, one mind with the praise team and the preacher, there's no telling what God can do because God is a spirit and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the spirit goes and it goes where it listens and there's a God in heaven that say, you know what? I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to heal you. I want to deliver you. And I do it because I love you. Amen. We pray because in Acts 3 and 1, it tells us, and Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. And when you pray, somebody say, when I pray, we're going to pray bold prayers. Ephesians 3 and 20 reminds us why we should pray bold prayers. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Some of you're tough to deal with because you're high maintenance. You ought to be high maintenance spiritually too with the Lord and say, Lord, I need 100%. I won't take 50%. I need 100% miracle. I don't want a 50% miracle. Some of you need to pray bold prayers. Don't ask Him for an ice cream cone mentality. Say, no, I want the whole factory, Lord. That's what I want, Lord. I just don't want my husband saved. I want that whole part of the family saved, Lord. I'm praying and I'm believing not for 10 people to get the Holy Ghost. I'm praying for thousands to get the Holy Ghost. And when you pray, pray often and pray in faith. Somebody say, it's time to pray. Mark 11 and 24 says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Be bold in your prayers. Be confident. Have faith in your prayers. Somebody shout, I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
We believe in vocal praise. You know, some folks are more vocal about their favorite football team than they are about Jesus. You would think some of them, their team is so amazing, but there's some of them teams that they're rooting for hasn't won all year long. But they act like they're the greatest thing in the world. Can I tell you who's the greatest thing in the world? Jesus. We ought to be vocal about Jesus. Right? You get vocal when you go to the donut shop. They're out of apple fritters. You're like, well, I came. I was the second one in line, and they're all good. I want that. You get vocal when somebody gets onto your kids. Mama Bear gets all crazy. Well, you ought to get vocal about some of the things that are taking place in this world and go to the Lord in prayer and say, God, this untoward generation, help me, Lord, to let my light shine like never before, oh God. Some of us get vocal about our stuff, right? Don't touch my stuff. Don't touch my hair, right? Get vocal about your Bible. Get vocal about the commandments of the Lord. I love Jesus. We need to stay vocal about Jesus. Psalmist tells us in Psalm 34 and 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I like this part. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. What do you say we do that right now? Why don't we just magnify, get vocal. Let's get vocal about living for the Lord. I do it because the Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's get vocal about Jesus. Huh? I love Jesus. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I clap my hands in church because I'm applauding the Lord. I do it because the Bible tells us in Psalm 47 and 1, oh, clap your hands, some people. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. And whisper unto God with a puny voice. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Come on, it would do some of you good to give God a praise with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Come on, RT. We can't go backwards. We cannot give more hand clapping and voices of triumph to the Dodgers than we do to Jesus. Come on. He died on the cross. Worthy. My dance is a dance of joy. I wish I had a backpack full of $10 million and $100 bills to hand out tonight and give some of you. I know you're praying for that, but I don't have it. But if I did and I started handing it out, some of you would jump up and down. You would dance for joy. Song says, my dance under my feet. And I declare that I have victory. Some of you got to remind the devil once again who you are. Say, Pastor, I don't dance. Well, some of you you're on the border of line because you used to go there, do the Macarena. You'd stand in line waiting to get in the club to get you. You come out. That's my song. Oh, hold my drink. You get out there and you come in the church and you sit there and you don't dance for Jesus. You don't got no joy. Can I tell you? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Some people had all kinds of moves. I say do it unto the Lord and do it decent and in order. We don't want to see your undergarments. We don't want to see your miscolored socks. Nothing like that. Just do it unto the Lord. Don't get hurt. Don't headbutt nobody. No cartwheels. But do it unto God. No swinging your partner round and round in here. No, just talk to Jesus. Give him a little praise. What we need around here is a little praise break. That's what we need around here. Come on, praise team, our drummer and organist. We need a little praise break. We need to remind some of you of what it's like to give the Lord a praise like never before. Just the organ and the drummer. Just the organ and the drummer. Hallelujah. You can still dance for Jesus. The Bible tells us in Psalm 149:3, let them praise him in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and a harp. Now, I have a shirt somebody blessed me with that says, I'm crazy for Jesus. But I could wear that shirt all the time and not be crazy for Jesus. Some of you don't need a shirt to tell you or tell others that you're crazy for Jesus. But could I tell you, whether you're crazy for Jesus or you're all dignified for Jesus, we do what we do unto the Lord because we love him. We are in relationship with the Lord. Psalm 150:1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. I like this part. Praise him. Help me out. Praise him for his mighty acts. Amen. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. However good God's been to you is however good you ought to give God a praise. Come on. If he's been good to you, get vocal. If he's been good to you, clap your hands. Give God a shout of praise. Come on. You don't have to run. You don't have to jump. You don't have to get out of the aisle. But I clap my hands. I lift my voice. I give God a praise. I praise him for his mighty acts. I praise him according to his excellent greatness. Woo! We're alive because of Jesus. We're saved because of Jesus. We're forgiven because of Jesus. That's a mighty act. That's a mighty act. Woo! We're blessed because of Jesus. We're set free because of Jesus. Some of you are blessed and highly favored because he died on the cross. That's a mighty act. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Woo! Praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We have mercy tonight because he loves us and we love him. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I serve him. I obey him. I'm submitted to him and I'm submitted to the man of God because I love Jesus. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation. I do it because the Bible says. I don't always agree with you, Pastor. I don't like your personality, but you're preaching the word of God, and so I'm submitted to you because you watch over my soul. I do it because the Bible says, and I love Jesus. Woo! My holiness is a holiness unto a holy God, because the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I dress holy. I live modest. I do it because I'm holy. Romans tells us, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. acceptable unto God. Not unto man. Not unto your boss. Well, pastor, they're making me do this. No, those days are over. You can get a letter and an exemption for anything nowadays. They can't make you do it. They get. I'm holy. I'm not conforming to this world. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm holy. I do it because the Bible says, follow peace with all men. And holiness. Notice what it says in Hebrews 12 and 14. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Come on, AV, help me out. I want to talk holy. I do it because the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and 15, as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all. Somebody say all. Manner of conversation. Well, that was just between us. TikTok, Instagram, instant messaging, FaceTime, pillow talk, whatever it is. Be holy in all manner of conversation. I do it because I love him. I'm in relationship with Jesus. I do my best to love my enemies. I do my best to turn the other cheek. I do my best to not take things personal. I do my best to be long-suffering. I do it because the Bible says in Luke 6 and 27, but I say unto you which hear, anybody hearing, pastor, give me a wave. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Woo! And pray for them which despitefully use you. I do it because I'm in love with Jesus. Somebody shout yes. I'm a steward. Somebody say I'm a steward. I'm a tither. I'm a giver of my finances unto the Lord. Because I'm not a thief or a robber. I know this is plain. I tithe my 10% to the Lord. I do it because the Bible says, and Malachi 3:10, bring ye some of the tithe, all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me, saith the Lord, if I not want to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. I do it because I'm a tither, because the Bible says I'm not a robber, I'm not a cheat. I want to give unto the Lord. Somebody say I'm a cheerful giver. I do it with joy. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I do it because he loves a cheerful giver. I preach from the Bible. We're a Bible preaching, teaching, living church. And I do it because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, somebody say reprove. Rebuke, somebody say rebuke. Somebody say exhort. With all long suffering and doctrine. I do it because the Bible says. Pastor, I don't like what you said. Well, the Bible says it. To do with all longsuffering. I believe in one God. And his name is Jesus. Bible says, Sister Faith, she did such a great job the other day. She's not in here. But the Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Help me out, A.D. And with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee shall be in thy heart. I do it because I love Jesus. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. The only saving name, I'm coming to a close here in a moment. The only saving name is the name of Jesus. I can declare that because the Bible says in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other name. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I believe, Sister Violet, in being born again of the water and the Spirit. Sister Monica, it's non-negotiable. I do it because Jesus, Sister Emily, had a conversation with a man named Nicodemus. And in John 3, 5, notice what it says. Jesus answered. This is the words of Jesus. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, I say do it. If you haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I say repent tonight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I do it because the Bible says in Acts 2 and 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout the name of Jesus. I forgive those that have offended me. I forgive those that have never apologized. I forgive those that have twisted my words. I forgive those that have decided to stay bitter. I forgive those that have stolen from me, that have lied to me. And I forgive all those people that will never say I'm sorry. I do it because, Brother David, the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 32, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I do it because the Bible says in Matthew 6 and 14, forgive men of their trespasses, for your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not their trespasses, neither will the Lord forgive you of your trespasses. I've been forgiven much, so I gotta be forgiving as much as I've been forgiven, because I love Jesus. I'm in relationship with Jesus. I do it because, Sister Parra, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Brother Nichols, I come to church and I get involved in church because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I know it's Wednesday night, and I know some of you got to get to the taco truck. I know. But why don't you turn to your neighbor and just give him a fist bump and a high five. Tell him you look good. Thank you for coming to church. Come on, exhorting one another. I bring my family with me to church. Somebody say, bring the family to church. I teach my daughter the ways of the Lord. I do it because the Bible says in Proverbs 22 and 6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart. Elder Johnson, I hold the line in some things in my home. I come to church with an open mind and an open heart. I teach my daughter the ways of the Lord, but I come ready to expect whatever the Lord has for me. And I do it because thousands of years ago, a man stood in front of a whole nation and he made a proclamation and he said, you decide for you, but I'm deciding for me. As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord.